Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Very familiar chapter. Many people call this the love chapter. The word love is not found in this chapter. The same Greek word, agape, that is translated love in several places in the New Testament is the same word that's translated charity in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Here's the message this morning. Do you love your church? Do you love your church? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, speaketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, as we look at this very important questions this morning, that you will help this sermon, Lord, not only help us through today and tomorrow, but Lord, may it carry the church, dear God, along in my absence. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would just clear the way for you to work. And dear God, you always want to work. You always want to communicate. You always want to help us. You always want to speak to us. And Lord, too many times we build up walls and barriers, dear God, between ourselves and you. And I pray, Lord, that we would make a conscious effort this morning to just say, Lord, I'm going to tear it all down. I'm just going to open my heart wide open. I'm just going to let you speak through your word and challenge me and help me. And I pray, dear God, that you'd use this message, Lord, not just to help us to understand how to better love our church, but to help us to understand how to better love you and that how to better love our spouses, how to better love our children, that children would learn how to better love their parents, how we would, Lord, have a more of a heart for the lost. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd use these principles in our life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. As I mentioned in my prayer, I could have entitled this sermon a number of different ways. I could call it this morning, Do You Love Your God? I could have entitled the message, Do You Love Your Wife or Do You Love Your Husband? Kids, I could have called the message, Do You Really Love Your Parents? By the way, parents, that's a two-way street. So maybe we ought to ask ourselves this morning, Do I Really Love My Children? As Christians, do we really love the lost? I'm talking about in the same way Jesus Christ loved the lost world enough to give himself and die on the cross for our sins. I'm going to take this morning's message and I'm going to apply it to the local New Testament church. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help you in these other areas because all of these principles about love applies to every single relationship in our life. This is the last message I may preach here for a while. So I have prayed about it for some time and meditated a long time on what to bring you. And it just seems like God kept bringing me back to this chapter. Here's a message that God led to me. He led me to ask you a question this morning. I want you to answer it in your own heart. Do you love your church? Do you love your church? Well, we've got to do some defining first. So let's answer this question. What is the church? What is the church? If you look at that Greek word and study it out, the word church is ecclesia. It means a called out assembly, a called out assembly. So think about that. What is the church? The church is the people who assemble faithfully. Come on, the people who assemble faithfully for instruction, for service, and for fellowship here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. The local New Testament church is a called out assembly. Okay, that's why the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. I'm certainly glad for our live stream. There are some folks that are unable, physically unable to come to church. By the way, that's going to be the case for me and my wife for the next maybe 5 or 6 weeks. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful that we can open our phone up or open up one of our devices and watch Blessed Hope Baptist Church's church online. And of course, folks, I would call that comes under the title of being providentially hindered from being here. This is something that's out of my control, okay? This is something that God's allowed into our lives that's going to prevent us from coming. And sometimes, folks, you know what? You're going to be providentially hindered from assembling together. This isn't to make people that are battling health problems and maybe from time to time you're unable to come. This isn't to put you on a guilt trip. But I hope it is for good instruction and exhortation to those that have gotten lazy when it comes to just assembling at the church house. Our live stream, folks, and the technology that's available is not used here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church so that we can disobey the Bible. Okay, because if you could be here and you're not here, that is a sin against Almighty God. You are disobeying the command to assemble together as the manner of some is. Now let's take this, let's break it down though. Okay, what is the church? What is the church? Okay, well, the church, folks, is people. Okay, those who assemble together. Now take a minute. All right, you're allowed to do this and look around. If you're in the front, turn your heads and look in the back. If you're in the back, you don't have to turn your heads, just look at the front. Look to the right, look to the left, look around. This is the church. These people here are the church, okay? By the way, when I say I love Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know what? What I'm saying is that I love you. I love the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Some people would say, well, I just love Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Well, what do you love? I love the singing. By the way, so do I. But that's not the church. I love the preaching. Well, of course. It's going to take a dip in the next month or so, but I'll get back. It'll get back up there, okay? But I love the programs. I love the spirit. I love the staff. I love the pastor. Well, let me say this. That's good, but let me ask you a question. Well, we're going to get down to it today, okay? Do you love one another? Do you love one another? Because if you don't, you don't love the church, okay? Preacher, I think I do. Well, let's find out. Okay, that's fair. Let's get into the Bible and find out. Because you know what? Our way of defining love a lot of times protects us or excuses us for truly having the same type of love one for another that God had for us. And so let's use the Bible to measure our love this morning. How does God define love? How does God grade our love one towards another? Number one, what is the church? The church is the people. The church is y'all. Number two, why should I love my church? I'm going to give you just one reason, and it should be good enough for every single one of us. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why should I love the church? Because Jesus loved the church. And you know what? This whole thing of Christianity is an attempt to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, listen to me. I'm not a Christian if I'm not Christ-like. And you know what? I'm not like Jesus if I don't love the church. Matter of fact, he loved the church so much that the Bible goes on to say, and gave himself for it. Folks, listen, we can give ourselves, we'll talk about that, in a lot of different ways to our church, but it's not talking about he tithed. It's not talking about he came over and mowed the yard. He died for the church. He gave his life for the church. And so why should I love my church? Because you know what? My goal is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he loves the church, and by the way, I'm not talking about a building. I'm not talking about property. I'm not talking about a program. I'm talking about people. If he loves everybody in this room, and he does, then shame on me if I don't love everybody in this room also. What is the church? It's the called out assembly. It's people. Why should I love the church? Because Jesus does. And if Jesus loves the church, that ought to be good enough for me. And then here comes the last question, and this is where we'll spend the bulk of our time. Do I love my church? Do I love my church? Look at the first three verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because The Bible says that there are some very, very positive things that you can do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and you can do them and still not love your church. Number one, you can say that you love your church and not really love your church. Look at verse one. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And folks, all of us can say the words. All of us can wax eloquent in the way we say the words. We can say, I love you. But you know what? You can say the words and still not love the church. Number two, look at verse two. You can have spiritual gifts, biblical knowledge, and great faith and still not love your church. Look at verse number two. And though I have the gift of prophecy and all and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Listen, you might be the biggest spiritual giant in this church, at least in your own mind. And yet, I'm telling you that if you fail in this area, you're just not much of a Christian. Okay, come and tell me how many times you read through the Bible. Do you love the people sitting beside you and behind you and around you? Come on, talk about your great answers of prayer. Talk about your great acts of faith. You know what? You can do all of those things. Does this King James Holy Bible? Am I changing it? No, you can go through all the spiritual activity and do everything to impress everyone into being convinced that you're the most spiritual person in the world. But if you don't love the people sitting around you, let me tell you something, then you know what? You're not like the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, watch this. You can give of your possessions, even of your life, and still not love the church. Preacher, how dare you suggest that I don't love my church? You just need to go back and check the giving records here, okay? See if there's a family that gives more and has given more to the church and given more to mission. Well, let's read verse three. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me what? Did you see that, folks? In verse number one, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Verse number two, I am nothing at the end. Verse number three, it profiteth me nothing. This is God's pronouncement. Listen, I don't care what you say. Here's what God's saying. I'm watching what you do. I don't care how spiritual you want to try to project yourself around here. I still am watching what you do when it comes to how you love each other. And if you don't back it up with love, I'm not impressed at all. He said, I don't care how much you give. I don't care if you gave your life in the parking lot in defense of your church. You know what? I look at your heart and I'm more interested on how you treated the people in that church that you died for the day before you died for it. So what the Bible is saying is this, a lot of things that we sometimes want to bring to the forefront as proof of our love, and how could anybody question our love? Those are not proofs in the eyes of Almighty God. Boy, this is good for us, isn't it? I want God to do something in my heart this morning. I want you to listen to your preacher, all right? I mean, there's a lot of things I could have preached on these last time up here for a while, but I'm just telling you, this is what we need. Amen. This is what Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs. Are words important? You say, preacher, don't you think words are important? Yeah, they are. But they ought to be backed up by love. Don't you think reading through the Bible and spiritual gifts and biblical knowledge and having faith is important? Yeah, I can take you to all over the Bible and show you where those things are important. But if you take love out of it, then it's nothing. That's God's opinion of it. Don't you think sacrifice is important? Yes. And you know what? Me and my wife live a very sacrificial life. But folks, listen to me. If we can do that, we can do that and still not love the brethren. And you know what? The Bible says it profits us nothing. Okay, preacher. So we've got those three things out of the way. Then what is God's measure of love? How does he define love? Well, let's read on down, verse number four. The characteristics of love, folks. Boy, we're going to be helped this morning. Number one, the measure of true love. Number one, if you love your church, then you'll be patient with each other. If you love your church, you'll be patient with each other. Look at verse number four. Charity suffereth long. By the way, if you look up that word, it means to be, I like this. It says to be long-spirited, long-spirited, to be forbearing, to be patient. Okay, so you know what? I come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And by the way, look around at the different people that God's gathered in this particular assembly. If you look around at this church or any other church, you know what? There's all kinds of different people. Listen, different personalities, different life journeys. There's a lot of people, if you'd sit down and get to know them, everybody's had a different journey to get where they are now sitting at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Brother AJ was talking to me about getting a chance to sit down and talk to Jared a little bit about his life and how he grew up. And he came to me and said, did you know this stuff? And I'm like, yeah, he's been pretty transparent about it. He's been willing to share it. And some of you don't have a clue. Some of you don't have a clue. You know, and that's okay. You know, not everybody knows everybody's story, but could you all agree on this? Everybody's got one. Everybody's got a path that they've walked that's led them to where they're sitting right here today. And their journey is different than your journey. Their experiences are different than your experiences. What am I saying? I'm saying there's a lot of different people in this room, different kinds of people. Listen to me. Different personalities. God made their personality, okay? Don't stand in judgment of that, all right? We tend to judge everybody based on how much like us they are. How much like me is that person? And if they're not like me, then they're what? Different. Well, maybe you're the different one. Come on now, come on. Different people, different personalities, different life journeys, different stages of spiritual growth. I mean, we literally have sitting in this room people that haven't been saved for a year yet. And we have people sitting in this room that's been saved 60, 70 years. Okay? And you know what, folks? Why are you saying, preacher? All of these differences is going to require from all of us some patience. Opportunities to be long-spirited. That means in your spirit, you are patient. In your spirit, you can go a long distance with somebody. You can see that they are different from you in a lot of ways and still love them. Amen. And still love them. Isn't this good? Amen. Different stages of spiritual growth, different cultural backgrounds, different struggles. Come on now. Different besetting sins. Folks, listen to me. You gather this many people together, there's just a lot of differences. And you know what it's going to require for all of us? Some patience. Yes, sir. Some patience with each other. Well, preacher, this person ought to just know better. Do you know anything about their lives? Some of the people that you sit in judgment of, if you had known where they were 10 years ago and you saw where they are today, you would be amazed at their growth. You would be amazed at the miracle God has done. And just because they're not where you are yet, you shouldn't stand in judgment of that person, folks. Listen, let's just love them. I remember, you know, Nathan Walt would come to me, and I've known Nathan since he was a little boy, okay? And sometimes he was the guy that, man, he did the right thing most of the time. I can tell you a few stories where he didn't, but most of the time he did the right thing. And he kind of had this impatience about him. Come on now. With other kids or other teenagers that just wasn't doing the right thing. He'd come to me and you could just see him just frustrated. He'd say, you know, what is wrong with this guy, you know? I mean, good night, this is black and white. And good night, this idea, and anybody can see this. And then I would look at Nathan and I would always say the same thing. And now all these years later, it's a thing between us, you know? I'd say, listen, Nathan. He's just trying to find his way. He's just finding his way. He's just finding his way. How long does it take somebody to find their way? He's finding their way. And now as adults, something will come up and he'll say, I know, he's finding his way. Hey, everybody just look right up here. We're all still finding our way. Come on, we're all still holding on to that unseen hand. Come on. We're having to face things. Every one of us in 2023 probably faced something you never had to face before. And if you didn't, I promise you, God may make up for it in 2024 and give you a couple things, all right? And you know what? We're all finding our way. One of the things I've said, and I really believe it, I've just have lived it out, and I've been right much more than I've been wrong on this. But I say this, good people, given time and space, will make good decisions. You know what that time and space is called? Patience. Good people, given time and space, will make good decisions. Folks, you know what this preaching of the Bible is doing? It's just helping folks. You say, preacher, man, there's a lot of things. We're on the first one, I know. You know, I'm not going to be here for a while, so. What do they say? Buckle up, buttercup, you know. All right. Well, you know what, folks? We need to be patient with each other. Look at the next one. You know what? If you love your church, then you are proactively kind to each other. Verse number 4 says, not only does charity suffer long, and it says, and is kind. Now, the Bible does not say love is not unkind. Come on, that's our fall safe. This is how we protect ourselves, where God isn't going to work on my heart today because, preacher, I can tell you this. I've gone a whole month and I haven't been unkind to anybody. You have not obeyed the Bible. Okay. The Bible says you are to be kind. You are to be kind. I'm to be kind one to another. Oh, I'd just taken over the church and I was a pastor and I hadn't been pastor in very long. And our school was a lot bigger in this day, during this time. And we had more stuff going on in the school. And we had so many different types of personalities. It seemed like every day there was a problem. And every day there was a parent calling, complaining about some kid had said something to somebody else. And you, in a Christian school, in a Christian school, folks, let me tell you something. Some devilish things can happen in a Christian school. You know why? Because people are people. So, you know, Pastor Jerry Ross is going to go over there and fix it. So I go in there and I preach an entire message on kindness. I said, we're going to have for the next 30 days a kindness revival. At the end of every single day, there's going to be a form you have to fill out. And you have to do at least two kind things say something kind or do something kind for every single person in this school every single day. And if you don't, you're going to get 437 demerits. Okay. And man alive, I mean, some of them get down to the last half hour and they're desperate, you know. What do I do? What do I do? I got to, hey, you don't look ugly today, you know. You know, you got to start somewhere where we're working them towards the process, you know. And that blouse almost matches that skirt. Yay, you know. We had to really define what kindness was and what it was not, you know. And I mean, they had to write it out specifically, what they said and what they did for 30 days. Hey, I wonder if we had those forms in the back. And I said, all right, we're going to pass them out right now. Amen. In this past week, listen, I'm talking about kind to your church. Yes. It's amazing we can leave the church and be kind to the person at the gas station. Yeah. We can be kind to a waitress. And we can't come into church with a predetermined plan to show acts of kindness to other individuals in the church. Think about that, folks. Think about that. What if we had a record of your text? Every text. I don't want all of them. But just the text that you sent this week about someone else in this church. What if I had access to it? And right now I just say, Brother Josh, drop the screen and start putting up there. How would we do? Come on, if we recorded, come on. Some of you little groups that like getting together. And you know, you got to have your weekly meeting where you talk about everything that's wrong with Blessed Oak Baptist Church. What if all that was recorded and I said, okay, we're just going to take all the words that you said about this church or about the people in this church and we're going to play them right now. By the way, I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit of God right now. Because if you're involved in that nonsense, shame on you. Shame on you. Don't tell me you love your church. Don't tell me that junk. Because love is kind. If you've said anything about anybody in this church, it ought to have been something kind. You say, well, preacher, you didn't. Those words weren't recorded. Oh, you're wrong about that. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. By the way, your church, fellow church members are going to be there to hear you give account for those idle words. So I don't have the power to do it at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but there's somebody that has the power. And words, idle words, are so wicked in God's sight that he's going to make you stand at the judgment seat and answer for them. I think we ought to just take a step back and think about what we're saying about the people that we're supposed to love. How about number three? If you love your church, then you will not be envious or jealous of each other. Verse number four says, charity envieth not. Let me just ask you some questions. Can you handle someone else getting attention that you do not? Can you handle someone else getting a position that you did not? Can you handle someone else getting an opportunity when you did not? Can you handle someone getting a blessing that you have not? Can you handle someone else getting praise when you were not? Now, here's the real question. Can you not only handle it, but can you be genuinely glad for them? If you can't, look right up here. You do not love your church. Number four, look at verse number four. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Now think about this, folks. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Listen to what I'm going to say next. I wrote it out because I wanted to say it right. Very few things will ruin a church quicker than a group of people who genuinely think that they're better than everyone else. Amen. I want to say it again. Very few things will ruin a church quicker than a group of people who genuinely think that they are better than everyone else. Hey, you know what? You know better than anybody else in this room. You're a sinner like everybody else is a sinner. Took the same amount of blood of Jesus Christ to wash away your sins as did anybody else. And folks, what do we have that would cause us to be puffed up or to vaunteth ourselves amongst the congregation? Folks, that's a wicked and evil spirit. There was a young lady that rode the bus here in Jasonville, and I wanted to follow up on her home situation. I wanted to go visit her mom and dad and try to get them to church. And so I went to a trailer, and she was living with her dad. Her parents were divorced. She was living there in the trailer with her dad. His name was John. And I invited John to church. Boy, when I knocked on the door, he came to the door, and I told him who I was. Boy, he took a step back, and I could tell immediately there was hostility. And he sat there, and he listened to me, and he finally said, "Preacher, I just appreciate you coming by. I'm glad that you come by and pick up my daughter, but I will never step foot in a church." And he started to shut the door, and I'd already gotten his name. And I said, John, wait, just wait a minute. I said, give me 2 minutes. And so he opened the door up, and I said, "Man alive." I said, "You don't know me. You don't know my church." I said, "Something's happened." I mean, who has that reaction? Something has happened in your life, and I want to know what it is. He said, no, you don't. I said, "Yeah, I do. I want to know what has happened in your life that causes you to stand here and tell me you'll never step foot in the church again." He said, "All right, I'll tell you." He said, "When I was a little boy," he said, we were pretty poor. And he said, I know we didn't have very good clothes, but he said, there was a church just down the road from where we lived. And he said, I'd ride my bike back and forth in front of that church on Sunday mornings. And I'd see the people going to that church, and I'd think to myself, I wonder if I could go there. I wonder if they'd let me go there. And he said, "Man, I did that for weeks and weeks and weeks. And one day I got enough courage, and just about the time the church started, I wheeled my bike in, went down, laid it in the yard, walked up to the front door." And he said, "A man stepped out on the front step, looked me up and down, and said, 'Can I help you?' And he said, 'Well, I just thought maybe I'd come to church.' And he said, 'Son, listen to me. I don't think this church is for a person like you. You probably ought to go find somewhere else.'" And he said, I walked. Now, this is a little boy, folks. God help us. This is a little boy. And he said, I walked over and got on my bike and rode away. And in my heart, I said, I will never step foot in a church again. By the time he got done, tears was running down my face. And I said, "John," I said, "I can't even imagine anyone doing something that would be more wicked than what that man did to you. And I said, John, if you never go into a church again, it's your choice. Nobody can make you. But I said, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. And if you don't want to do it, that's fine. I'm going to ask you to come one time to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, because I don't want you to die one of these days and think that all churches is like that church, because they're not. And I said, listen to me. If a man in my church did that to a kid out there, I said, I would kick that man out of my church, run down the street, grab that little boy and tell him, you come on in, you're welcome here. And I said, would you at least think about it? And he said, I'll think about it. Next Sunday, I'm looking. He didn't come. Next Sunday, I'm looking. He didn't come. Praying for John. Next Sunday, I look, and here he comes. And you know what? One dressed like most of us are able to dress. Came in, sat by his little daughter, just about where Brother Snyder was. And I preached that morning a salvation message on John 3:16 on the love of God. And you know what? After church, during the invitation, John stepped out, walked up forward, tears in his eyes. I got to kneel down and lead John to the Lord right here, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Folks, listen to me. I will walk guard over that wicked spirit. If you're walking around here thinking you're all that, you're something, and you ought to dictate who's allowed to come here and who you think isn't a good fit here, let me tell you something. You're of the devil. I said you're of the devil. And that kind of a wicked satanic spirit, if it's in this church, it needs to go. Because there's all kinds of little boys named John. There's all kinds of little boys and girls like John. And they need to find a place that loves them. Amen. Loves them. Amen. And love does not vaunt itself, is not puffed up. Yep. Number five, if you love your church, then you will not be unseemly in your behavior. Look at verse number five. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Now, what does that mean? You know, we see a word like that. We read past it. Well, let's make sure we understand it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Here's something deep, folks. Unseemly is the opposite of seemly. Help me out, English teachers. Come on. What does seemly mean? Becoming, fit, suited to the object, occasion, purpose, or character, suitable. So what is unbecoming, unsuitable, improper for the person or character or event, indecent, indecorous? Brother Howes used to teach us young preachers the importance of being appropriate. That's the word I want to leave with you, appropriate. Think about this. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Wisdom is understanding the situation or circumstance you find yourself in and learning to act appropriately. Some of you young men riding the bus, young ladies, I'm so pleased with you. I mean this. I'm so impressed by the way that you're learning as you left Children's Church and you've come into a new environment and you're figuring out, you know what? There's a way to act in church. There's a way to treat people in church. There's a way to behave in church. There's a way to act during the preaching of the service. And you know what? I've watched you grow in those areas. I've watched you sit up straight. I've watched you listen. I've watched some of you begin to take notes. And I'm impressed by it. You know what you're doing? You're not being unseemly, okay? You know, guys, church isn't a place to get in a wrestling match before the church service starts. Does it happen from time to time, Blessed Hope Baptist Church? You don't come early enough before opening assembly, or you would know sometimes. It looks like the WWE in here sometimes, you know. Hey, children, this isn't a place. This isn't the playground. Okay, this isn't a racetrack. All right, this isn't a place to have the 100-yard dash. Okay, this isn't a place to reach out in front of you and start tearing up. Come on, it's amazing what I see and what I find after a service sometimes. Sometimes people just take envelopes, missions envelopes, and they, by the way, all that stuff costs money, and just rip them up. They leave sticky candy in the seat, candy wrappers. God forbid, if I looked underneath these pews, would there be gum stuck to? Listen, you know what all that behavior is? Unseemly. And you know what? Not everybody's going to come in here understanding those things. But you know what? If you love your church, you understand that the people around you have sacrificed
a lot of money so that you can have the nice things that you have. And you know what? If you truly love them, then you learn to behave yourself unseemly, appropriately. Let me just ask you some quick questions. We can't spend a lot of time on this. What is appropriate, the appropriate way to conduct yourselves with children, folks? Well, every children's worker needs to listen to me. There's an appropriate way to conduct yourself with children and an inappropriate way to conduct yourself with children. Okay? How about this? What is the appropriate way to conduct yourself with teenage girls at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? With the teenage young men. Watch this. With the adult singles. There's an appropriate way to talk to them and communicate with them, and there's an inappropriate way. How about with married women? With married men? With your peers? Watch this. With your senior saints? And again, I want to brag on some of you because some of you, you know what? You got in the habit of churches out. You're wanting to run out the door and you're not paying attention that there's older people around you. Some of them are walking with canes. Some of them you can tell are frail. And you just want to run right between them or run over the top of them because you want to be to the bus. And then I'm watching. You know what? You know how you learn different? You got a grumpy old preacher at the back door. That's how you learn different. Or you got an usher that says, hey. Slow down. You know what? After they've told you that two or three times, what I like to see is that you start realizing there's an appropriate way. And man, if I come to the door and there's an elderly person there, I'm just going to stop. And so what? I'm not going to get to the bus first. It's more important that I make sure this person is honored because they're older. Are you listening to me? We're talking about learning to teach the children. But folks, listen to me. Adults need to learn this. There's appropriate behavior in the house of God, and there's inappropriate behavior. And so we need to be careful. Number six, if you love your church, then you will not be selfish in your attitude or actions. Verse 5, seeketh not her own. Seeketh not her own. Now think about this, folks. You from time to time, you know, will have to deal with somebody that just is selfish. There's just very, very self-centered. I'm sorry, but that is the opposite of love. Let me regain your attention, all right? Don't worry about the clock. Worry about listening, letting the Holy Spirit help you this morning, okay? Think about this, okay? If you love your church, you'll not be selfish in your attitude or actions. The most miserable people in the world are selfish people. The people that get the least out of their church are selfish people. I walked through those double doors years ago. Lady sat right back there on the back row. She didn't see me coming. She had a little paper and she was writing down names on it. And she just finished writing a name and I come up behind her and I said her name. Boy, she about had a heart attack. She's trying to stuff the paper under her leg. And I said, what you got there? And then she said the infamous statement. Well, Pastor, you might as well know our church has a problem. Our church has a problem. Now, I've been doing this a long time, so let me educate you so everybody understands what that statement means. If you ever hear another church member say to you, our church has a problem, you are looking at the problem. Because that same person could come to you and say, our church sure has a lot of blessings. Our church sure is blessed. Our church sure has a lot of good things going on. But no, they are the masters of identifying the problems. And I said, oh, well, pray tell. What is the problem that we have at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Well, our church just isn't very friendly. And she pulls her paper out. These are the only people that's come back and shook my hand today. And I said, well, if everybody else had that paper and they were writing names down, would your name be on it that you came and shook hands with them? Now, what's her problem, folks? I'm trying to help you. Because most, listen, I mean what I said right there. People that are wanting to walk around talking about that the church has a problem, they are, you, ma'am, sir, you are the problem. You know why? Because you're selfish. If there is a problem, you say, preacher, you don't ever think there's a problem here? No, I deal with them every week. Okay, there's problem spreaders, there's problem spreaders, and there's problem solvers. Okay? If there's a problem, why don't you go to the person, come to the person who can actually solve the problem?
Amen. That's right.
But you don't want to come to me with it. You just want to walk around along the fringes and say, well, you know, we got problems around here. We got problems around here. We got problems around here. Look right up here. That's wicked.
That's right.
That's wicked. You don't want to solve. You know what your problem is? You're a drama mama. You're not a virtuous woman. You're a drama mama. You love drama. You always think there's got to be something wrong. And by the way, you always have the answer. Whoa! Come on, ma'am. Honestly, I should make you pastor. You can fix everything around here. You are brilliant. No, you're a problem. Because you're not concerned about the problems or you'd be knocking on my door. You're concerned about yourself. Okay? And apparently we need to fix everything so that everything makes you the center of it. That's not happening at this church. And if that's what you're looking for, there's a door right there. There's a road right there. You can go both directions and you can find all kinds of churches all over the county. And maybe you'll find one where you can be the, oh, but that's not here. Because the only person that's the, oh, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Number seven, this one, it's a good thing it's next. If you love your church, then you will not be easily provoked. Now, this is getting to be more of a problem because society is training people to become easily offended. Everybody's walking around, and they all got an excuse looking for somebody to offend them at all times. You know, people are constantly looking for something to be offended about. That should not find its way. Those attitudes should not find their way into the church house. Listen, folks, the Word of God is going to offend you sometimes. Okay? You must learn to let the Word of God correct you.
Yes,
stop walking around with a chip on your shoulder. You're not right about everything.
Yeah.
Okay? You haven't reached Christ's likeness yet. Amen. You have plenty of things you need to be working on. Instead of sitting around worrying what everybody else needs to be working on.
Yeah,
okay? 2 Timothy chapter 4 gives me instruction. It's a pastoral epistle. It's written to Timothy, but it's written to all preachers. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a divine charge before God, something I'll stand and answer to in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and in his kingdom? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. If a preacher's preaching the Bible, it's going to reprove you sometime. Okay, it's going to rebuke you sometimes. It's going to exhort you sometimes. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Hey, folks, I've watched them come and I've watched them go. And they come in here and they love the singing and they love the program and they think this is the greatest thing. And wow, I finally found a church and blah, blah, blah. And then 6 months later, preacher gets on something, come on, starts hoeing in their tater patch a little bit and they can't take it. Next thing you know, they're going to go find some church where that preacher will never mention their sin. Well, folks, listen to me. I want the Word of God to mention my sin. I want the Word of God to correct me. I want the Word of God to rebuke. How can I get better? If I walk around with this attitude of, okay, preacher, these are the subjects you can preach on, but if you go outside my little box, then you know what? I'll go find someplace else. Well, listen, I'm not in your box. I'm not staying in your little box. This is my box. Okay? And so don't walk around being easily offended. We're in a society where feelings are more important than facts. No, they're not. Tantrums are more important than truth. You know, a church member throws a tantrum. You know where they're getting it from? Watch this. I was on a plane here a while back, and there was a mom, and she had a little hellion, a little kid that was just screaming and hollering. I mean, I'm not talking about an infant. I'm talking about a 4-year-old child and just acting like a hooligan. And she gets down and she says, I am so sorry that you're not feeling good about this. Tell me how you feel. What can we do to make you feel better? Oh, mommy is so sorry. What can I buy you? If I buy you something. Now, by the way, they're raised that way.
Yeah, right.
Then they come to the church and they throw a tantrum here and they think I'm going to come to them. Oh, bless your little heart. What can I do? Why are you not feeling very good? What can I buy you? What can I do for you? Listen, that's a bunch of hogwash. We're running the next generation of Christians because a kid is being raised and they can't handle rebuke. They can't be corrected. Come on. Excuses are being made about their behavior. Okay? They're being told that normal is not normal. Amen. And that kind of behavior is not normal. Amen.
Right.
And so, come on. Number eight, if you love your church, you will not think evil of others. You will not think evil of others. Thinketh no evil. What does that mean? Depraved or injurious thinking. Depraved or injurious thinking towards another. You say, preacher, in the church house, listen to me, depraved? Think about that. Or injurious. Our thoughts towards each other ought to be pure. Look right up here. I'm going to say it again. Our thoughts towards each other ought to be pure.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, they should be peaceful, not injurious.
Yes, sir.
Now think about that. We should both pray and hope the best for our fellow members. Let's just put this to the test. I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anyone in this room that if something bad happened to them or their family, you would derive a small amount of pleasure from it? And if there is, I imagine the Holy Spirit's told you who it is. I'm going to say it again. Is there someone in this room that if something bad happened to them or their family, you would derive a small amount of pleasure from it? Folks, please tell me how that's not wicked. Please tell me how that's love. You don't love your church if you're harboring depraved thinking or injurious thinking towards each other. Listen, man, you got to get to the altar on stuff like this. Yeah, there are no yeah, but. That's your problem. You always think your sin is somebody else's fault. You can't control the way they behave, but you can control how your attitude towards their behavior. God takes pleasure. By the way, you are wishing bad on someone else. I read this quote this week. You're wishing bad on somebody else. God takes pleasure in turning our thoughts against another into a reality in our own lives. I'm going to say that again. God takes pleasure in turning our thoughts against another into a reality in our own life. By the way, that's King James Holy Bible. You better think about that. Isn't it amazing if you'll look at your life, the very thing bad you were wishing in somebody else probably has come into your own life and you're not even wise enough to see it. Say, preacher, we're plowing deep this morning. Amen. Say, what's the goal of this message? You must know about a bunch of problems going on. I know tomorrow I'm going to the hospital. And I know this. You know how this church will be just fine for the next, 4 to 6 weeks till I can get back here? If everybody leaves this morning and decides you're just going to love each other,
amen.
There won't be problem one.
Right.
I guarantee if there's a problem, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and find out why there's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Right. Yes, sir.
If you are thinking evil, you've got that in your heart, folks. Listen to me. Look right up here. I'll see if I can help you. Okay? I just gone through 3 days of chemo. All right, that's Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Well, what does that even mean? Some of the kids, what does that mean? Well, you go into a room, and you know what? They hook up this big bag of fluids, and they just flush your system with fluids. Just, there's nothing bad in there, just water, saline water. And then they hook up a bag of chemo. And what is that? It's poison. It's a bag of poison. Am I right, Sister Jenny? It's a bag of poison. They give you one bag of it, then they give you a second bag of it. It's a combination of two different types. And you know what they do? They put it right into a port. I could show it to you, but I won't. That's right here. I got a port right here. Amen. Yep, it's there, about the size of a quarter. For a dollar, you can see it afterwards. But they stick a needle in there. That's cheap. They got more money than that? $10. And they just pour poison in you. And I had them do that for an hour and a half. They run this poison, about 2 hours, they run this poison through. And then they flush another bag of fluids. And they're just putting poison in your system. And they want that poison to attack the cancer. But here's the thing. It doesn't just attack the cancer.
Yeah, right.
That's why a lot of times people go through chemo, they lose their hair. Right now, after 3 days of intense, I can taste it in my mouth right now. It affects everything. I can smell it in my nostrils. I mean, I don't know how to tell you. It's bad. It's bad. That's why I said, if you're in the club, you're in the club, but we don't wish anybody else to ever be in the club. I hope nobody else in this church ever has to go through this. But folks, that poison's put in there in hopes it'll kill the cancer, but also put in there in such a way they're hoping it don't kill you. Please listen to me. When you get this evil thinking towards other people in your church, it's a poison. It is a poison inside of you, and it is not hurting the person that you're hating. It is destroying you. And some of you need to unhook from that bag. Flush yourself through with the water of the Word. I have had to drink in the last 2 days gallons and gallons and gallons of water. You know why? Because if I don't, what that chemo will do to my system, my digestive system, I have to, you know what? We'll flush out all of that wickedness and hatred. Okay, you go to Calvary and you watch what they did to Jesus. And then you have him look down and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then you tell me why you are holding hatred in your heart, having evil thoughts in your heart towards somebody else. Amen. Thinketh no evil. Number 9, if you love your church, you will rejoice in truth and not iniquity. Rejoiceth in the truth. Verse number 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. What makes you happy? No, I mean, what just gets you? What causes you to rejoice? Okay, I've watched some of you during the singing service. It's not singing. I'm watching some of you during the preaching. It's not preaching. So what is it that makes you happy? By the way, in those songs is truth. In this preaching this morning is truth. Why aren't you rejoicing in the truth? Why does it have to be something evil? Why does it have to be iniquity? Why does it have to be something bad? What gets you excited? What do you delight to talk about? What do you derive happiness from spreading? Truth or iniquity? Something good or something bad? Bad news or good news? The word gospel means good news. Are you in the rejoiceth in the gossip club or rejoiceth in the gospel club? Come on. What gets you excited? A soul saved or a juicy piece of gossip? Never rejoice in iniquity in another church member's life. Look right up here. Okay, people are going to fall and they're going to fail. People are going to do some really stupid things. And if that is nothing more than you, that's what it takes to get you excited, because now I've got something that I can meet with all my little group with and we can talk about and digest it. Then you do not love your church. You do not love your church. Rejoice in truth. Come on. People, when they go through tough times, good night, we're going to talk about it. Let's go next. Verse number 7, if you love your church, you'll learn to bear and endure all things. The first part of verse 7 says, beareth all things. The last part says, endureth all things. I'll take them both together. Bear means to roof over, to cover with silence. Look it up. You can look it up and you can find the same definition. So we're talking about building a roof over somebody that's going through a storm. Okay, storm's hitting, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to bear all things. I'm going to overshadow them like a roof, and I'm going to take some of the stuff that's hitting them, and I'm going to let it hit me instead. And I'm going to do that in silence. I'm going to cover them with silence, not cover them with this. Cover them with silence. Let's just cover them with prayers. Let's build a roof over them with the prayers of God's people. Okay? To build a roof over. The word endure means to bear under. So you think about it. I'm building a roof over the top of them to protect them from above. And then I'm going to get underneath them and help bear up their burden to exercise fortitude and perseverance. I'm going to help them get through this. So think about that. Sometimes in our church, folks, we're going to have to cover for other people for a while. Sometimes you're going to have to carry someone else's burden for a while. This is what makes a church family different than the world. So we don't sit around and point at each other's problems and difficulties and talk about it and get snarky about it. We go over and cover them with our prayers. Get up underneath their burdens. What can I do to help you? What can I do? Sometimes it's just listening to somebody. Sometimes it's praying with somebody. Sometimes it's helping bail somebody out financially a little bit. Come on, church. Come on. Number 11, if you love your church, you'll learn to have a faithful, positive attitude. The middle of verse 7, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Believeth all things, hopeth all things. You know what that's talking about? Faithful, positive attitude. Believe all things, hope all things. Believe means believe. Hope means a positive, steadfast assurance. Let me just say some things out loud. I believe this is going to be the greatest year Blessed Hope Baptist Church ever has. Yep. Despite some of you that are murmuring and complaining. I believe God is going to give us many souls this year. I believe it. I believe every member here is going to grow in faith and holiness. I believe we're going to have a revival amongst our teenagers this year. I believe that Operation Occupation is going to have its greatest year of productivity this year. I believe our bus ministry is going to produce children and teenagers that are going to spend their lives serving the Lord. I believe that our school is going to have its greatest year. I think we're going to have the greatest VBS we've ever had in the history of our church. I think junior camp is going to be the greatest week we've ever had of junior camp. I think our teen trips and public school teen revival and our camp that they're going to attend out in Oklahoma is going to be the greatest thing the teens ever experienced. I believe old-time religion still works for a new generation. I believe God is going to give us new families, new converts, new labors for the harvest. I believe that our missions month is going to be the greatest one in the history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Hey, that's what I'm focused on. Where are y'all at? Where are y'all at? I have a steadfast assurance. I'll tell you something else I believe. Listen, right, I'm just going to let you in on it. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ coming back again this year.
Amen.
And I want to live like I believe it. Amen. Amen. What do you think about that? Number 12, if you love your church, you'll still love it in 5 years and 10 years and 25 years and 50 years. Yeah. Charity never faileth.
Yep.
Folks, listen to me. I understand God moves people from time to time, but I'm going to tell you something. Too many people are moving themselves.
Right.
Okay. If you're a member here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, listen to what I'm going to say. An empty pew is your vote to close your church.
Yeah. Amen.
An empty pew is your vote to close your church. Right. An unpaid tithe is your vote to close your church.
Right.
Listen, love never faileth. That's what we're at. We're done. Love never faileth. You know what? It means you don't stop. Listen, I was saved at the Rock Run Baptist Church in Brazil, Indiana. How many of you ever been to that church? I mean, been by it or at least know where it's at, seen it? Okay, a few of you. We got to take a trip. We're going to load up a bus and take a trip because I want to take you through, what do they call it? The Devil's Keyhole. Yeah, that's what they call it. To get to Rock Run Baptist Church, you got to drive through the Devil's Keyhole. I know it's weird. Amen. There's a sermon in there somewhere. Amen. I'm going to drive you there. I go there every year. It's not even a Baptist church anymore, but I love it. Okay? I don't even agree with the doctrines being preached there, but I love it. Why? Because that's where I got saved.
Yeah.
Could you attend there anymore? Nope. But I still love it. And I don't understand people. You know, if you're going to come and you want to be here and you want to be blessed, and then you decide to leave the church, then leave. But why you turn around hating? Why do you got to badmouth it? Why do you got to talk it down? Some of the people in this community would be going to a devil's hell right now. They got saved at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And yet they want to walk around badmouthing the place that got them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, they never loved the church. They never loved the church. How do you? Well, maybe they did it something. No, they never loved it. You know why? Love never faileth. I love Jerry Purcell. By the way, pray for him. He's really frail. I don't know how much longer he's going to be with us. If me and him sit down, by the way, if me and him sit down and we talk very long about the Bible, we disagree about some things. He has strong opinions on certain doctrines that me and him don't see eye to eye on. And yet every single year, I'll go by his house and I'll talk to him for about an hour and I'll walk over and kneel beside his table, by his chair, and I'll say, put your hands on me and pray for me. And he'll say, Brother Jerry, you should pray for me. And I said, well, you pray for me. And he'll put his hands on, shake his, put his hands on me, pray for me. If it wasn't for that man, then you know what? This church wouldn't even exist, folks. Okay?
Yes, sir.
If it wasn't for that man, my mom and dad wouldn't have got saved. Why in the world would I walk around bad-mouthing that man? You know, folks, listen to me. Love never faileth. Do you love your church? Do you love your church? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your goodness to us. I ask, dear Lord, that you'd take this message. It's been kind of a pastor's type message, probably more of a Sunday night message than normally than a Sunday morning. But Lord, I think the Sunday morning crowd need to hear this. I think our bus kids need to hear this. I pray, Lord, that you'd keep our church right. I pray, Lord, that you'd keep us humble. I pray that you'd keep us convictable. I pray, dear God, that the Holy Spirit of God would move in our hearts and help us to not only now listen to that still small voice, but in the course of the next week or so to go back over these things and decide that I'm going to love my church. Yeah, I want to love my husband. I want to love my wife. I want to love my children. I want to love the lost. Above all things, I want to love God. But I want to love my church the way Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd bless us and help us. We pray in Jesus' name.